message, Jesus. I really wanna see. Oh yes, it's Jesus. I really want to see. Oh, the more I see of this old world, the less it means.
Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. How many of you can say without a doubt in your mind, we had a tremendous, tremendous meeting? Was you blessed by the meeting? Was you lifted up? Oh, wasn't the word of the Lord wonderful? And you know what? I believe our guests were just about as blessed as we were. I think it was good for everybody. Don't you? Just a good meeting. Well, tonight's Wednesday night. We're here to do it all over again. How many of you are just glad to be in the house of the Lord? Praise our young people are back. I understand they had a wonderful, wonderful experience at Louisiana Youth Camp. And well, we praise the Lord for that, don't we? Give our young people a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord. Now, why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. What a privilege it is. Play a little something, boys, while they fellowship tonight. Hey, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Samuel. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you. Jesse, God bless you. Good to see you, buddy. Hey, buddy. Good to see you. Bless you, Brother Sherman. Good to see you. God bless you. Brother Rob, God bless you. Bless you.
Sing it, Brother Harry. Sing it.
Hallelujah. Oh, the more I see of this old world, the less it means to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Now give him a big hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Well, the Lord is certainly mindful of us. We certainly appreciate Brother David Seiler's back home tonight. He was in Mexico where the 7.2 or 7.5 earthquake was, and they were all shaken up, but the Lord spared them, and he's back home, so we've got a lot to praise the Lord for. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request. Brother Brad Johnson is going to come and pray over the request. He's going to give you, he or Brother Rob, ever who wants to do it, give you just a little brief summary of our young people's meeting. Brother Rob stepped out, so Brother Brad, you're the man right now. Brother Rob didn't know I was going to call on him, but Brother Brad can do that just fine. Understand, I had some young people getting baptized, and the Spirit of the Lord just moved in a wonderful way. Well, God's still moving. Satan thinks he's got it all wrapped up. He ain't got nothing wrapped up. He can only wrap up what the Lord lets him wrap up. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request. Sister Janet Kennedy wants us to remember Brother Eugene in prayer. He's staying extremely weak, is having trouble walking, also having severe neck pain. So we certainly want to pray for our brother that the Lord would be mindful of him. Brother Keith Phillips says that his job ends on May the 9th of this year. Please pray that I can find the job that our Lord wants me to have. I desire to be in his will, so we just pray that God would do that for our brother. I want to pray for Sister Christine Baker. Needs gallbladder surgery. Some financial issues need to be worked out. So let's pray that the Lord would take care of that situation. Brother Junior Davis wants to thank everyone for their prayers. He was admitted to the hospital on Sunday and was diagnosed with appendicitis. He had surgery Sunday evening and came home today. He is doing well. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Sister in Christ sends this in. I have an urgent unspoken prayer request. Please keep me and my family in your prayers. Thank you and may God bless. And we'll just commit that to the Lord tonight. Brother Samuel Shuffler has several prayer requests tonight. Won't take time to go into every need, but want to remember him in prayer on these prayer requests. The Lord will be mindful of him. Brother Daniel Ball says a friend's mother is in need of prayer due to cancer throughout her body. Her name is Lorene Kilday. So let's remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Brother Baker, who is still sick with a stomach virus. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Please pray for Sister Lona Hara. She's home running a fever with a sinus infection. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, we'll just commit these things unto our Lord. How many of you know God's able? Somebody say it, God is able. Somebody say it again, God is able. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Brad, God bless you as you come. Pray over these needs. We'll just commit these things unto our Lord. Certainly appreciate our brother, don't we? God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Bless you. I don't think words can put in my mouth of what happened this past weekend. I believe I speak for Brother Rob and our wives, probably the best camp we've ever been into. Lord really had a freedom to move young people. I think about 3 hours were baptized. I believe after they come out of the water, they all kneeled down by the water and spoke in tongues for quite a while. We got some Pentecostal little children growing up in here. Brother John Andes, Brother Craig Boer, excellent job. This really spoke to our hearts. I don't think the Lord was finished with us as we got on the bus and we started going through testimony services. And I believe every person on the bus gave a testimony of what God done for them. And I think after we had prayer and then they started singing, the Lord really moved on the bus. And I think about 8 or 9 of them girls started speaking in tongues. I think probably 4 hours later, they decided they need to quit. They weren't only ones. They were some drunk people. My wife, one of them. But absolutely, we want to thank God for really moving. Let's take these requests to Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for another opportunity we have to come into Your house. Lord, we thank You for what You've done for our young people this weekend. Lord, what You've done here at this church this past week. Father, this is a new night, Lord. We were blessed then. We need another touch from You tonight, Lord. You see our needs. Lord, we want You to feel welcome to walk these aisles to minister to each heart, Lord. You see the hands that was raised. You know the need that was behind each hand. Lord, these requests, I hold my hand. I don't remember them all, but God, You know what they were. Father, I pray, may You just move for them. Touch Brother Junior, Lord, and be with Brother Keith, Lord. Help him to find a job, Lord, and the rest of these needs, Lord. I pray, may You just move. Lord, just anoint the congregation singing a special singing. Most of all, anoint the minister. Anoint Brother Donnie as he comes out and speaks to us, Lord. Give us things we have need of and give us strength for our journey. Lord, we just give You the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. Well, that's a good report, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We praise the Lord for that testimony, our young people. May God just, may that fire just burn and burn and burn. And we just keep throwing logs on the fire and just keep burning for the Lord. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting with us in this service tonight, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming tonight, pray God will just bless those folks as well. This service will be a tremendous blessing to all those folks that are streaming tonight. Let's sing a song tonight. Feel like running my last mile home. Amen. You feel like running tonight? Amen. After this weekend, we all ought to feel like running. Praise the Lord. Let's sing about it tonight, if you will.
When I come to the end of my journey, live my lifetime for this day alone. I just saw the light and I'm getting a little bit anxious.
Yeah, I started out walking, but I'm running the last mile home.
Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile home.
Oh, so ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, let me through. Angels,
once has my God led me wrong.
Hallelujah. Oh, sing about it.
The deserts and the valleys lie behind me. The road ahead straight and I'm running my last mile home.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile home.
Ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, let me through.
Singing a new song I never heard before. Yes, they're singing a new song I never heard before.
Ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, let me through. Angels, take me to the throne.
Music.
Oh, yes, Lord. I'm a weary pilgrim running my life.
How great thou art. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus just before we change the order of the service tonight. Sister Abigail Blair has a song for us tonight. She'll be getting ready to sing. Brother John got a song for us tonight. He'll come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing. I was sharing something with Brother Don, just looking and listening to testimonies from actually all around the country, what kind of services and how the Lord had moved. In different congregations, people, believers, the experience of just an outstanding move of the Lord. I'm glad we serve a God like that. I'm glad He's God in Tennessee. He's God in Virginia. He's God in Louisiana. Wherever He wants to work, He'll work, won't He? You believe that with all your heart tonight. I'm so glad for that. My little grandson had to go to the dentist the other day and have some caps put on his teeth. And he asked, he's 7 years old, Andy's little boy, Andy and Jennifer's little boy. He said, Mama, let's pray before we go in there. He was scared. He said, let's pray before we go in there. So they had a little prayer there in the car. They got through praying. He looked over to his mama. He said, Mama, that God's omnipotent, ain't He? So I know he heard that from right here. I know we don't even know what the word omnipotent means, but I'm glad our children are listening. I'm glad He is omnipotent. I'm glad He's God wherever He wants to be God. Aren't you glad in the darkest hour, He's still God? In your darkest moment, He's still God. When you're on the mountain, He's still God. Praise the Lord. Then sings my soul, my Savior God. To thee, how great! Why don't you sing it with everything you got, children? Oh, how great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to great tonight. How great is our God. Oh, how great thou. One more time with all your heart. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How thou art Lord, how great thou art.
Hallelujah, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Oh, we bless you, Lord. say praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's enjoy our singers tonight as they sing for us.
Fastened down, I spent the light in sleeplessness and woke in every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. A gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I ran to the window and peered down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where he'd been. She said they'd left him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. So we both ran to the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd left him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, for I'd seen them crucify him, and then I'd watched him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. So even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Then Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunrise from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Heaven's gates are
the Lord. Amen. Yes, praise the Lord.
A place I found, not made of earth, not made of stone. This place is sacred, this place is secret, here in the presence of a holy God. Here in the presence of a holy God. Come to this place, come seek His face, find the hands of forgiveness, look into the eyes of grace. Run to redemption with tears of joy and pain. Let fire fall and purify our hearts. Come to the altar, come to His arms. There's a place of healing. There is no shame within your scars. This place is sacred, this place is secret, here in the presence of a holy God. Here in the presence of a holy God. Come to this place, find the hands of forgiveness, look into the eyes of grace. Run to redemption with tears of joy and pain. Let fire fall and purify our hearts. Come to the altar, come to His arms.
Well, we certainly appreciate our specials tonight, don't we? Amen. You going to pray for your pastor tonight? You going to pray for your pastor tonight? Let's stand to our feet. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years, and we've just
to imagine, isn't it? 10,000 years, you just got started. Well, I don't know about you, I'm still rejoicing over the weekend. Amen. Amen. The presence of the Lord just... I'm so grateful for the brothers and sisters coming to be with us and ministry of the Word. I've heard of so many healings and things that the Lord done. He's a mighty God, ain't he?
Amen.
He's a mighty God. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians, chapter 1. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. I'll tell you one thing, these apostles didn't play church.
Amen.
And if men preach things that was off the word, they didn't baby them around. Now, this wouldn't be very politically correct in this day, would it? Of course, they wasn't really concerned about that. Look in verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So that tells us in where the majority of preachers fits today. Now listen, this is what the Bible says, your Bible. For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Well, he sounds pretty confident, don't he? For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now listen to this and hear your hymn in 1958. Brother Bam said, let us act and be as Christians should be. Make us an example, this is a prayer, in the neighborhood, that when we pass by, that the women might say, there goes a saint of God. If there was ever one sweet, meek, gentle, there goes a saint and that man across the floor yonder. If there was ever a godly man, there he goes. His life proves it.
Amen.
Not what he says now, but his life proves it. I'm his neighbor. Such a Christian, such an honor to live by him. Wow.
Amen.
So I'm going to speak to you tonight on give us such godly men. Give us such godly men. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight. Lord, we so appreciate, as we said, the services this weekend, the visitation, your presence, and Lord, just to recognize you in our midst. Thank you for the brothers who preach. Thank you for the saints who come to visit with us. Thank you for the local assembly here, Lord, that responded. And I pray once again, Lord, that you'd help the church here to realize they play such an important part in how the services go. Not just special services, but just our regular services, Wednesday and Saturday and Sunday. These brothers didn't bring a special anointing and a special briefcase from a special version of the Bible, from a special version of the message. Same Bible we read from all the time. Same Holy Ghost that we have all the time. But a lot of it is our expectation. So we come here tonight, Father, expecting you once again to speak to us. Father, you see our needs. Dear God, I have two prayer cloths that I'm going to wear next to my body. You see the needs, Lord Jesus, that these prayer cloths represent. I have no healing within me, but this is an obedience to your word. But I do have within my body the Holy Ghost. Deity lives in my tabernacle. So, Lord, I will stick this in my shirt pocket. I'll preach with it there, Lord. I'm asking you for deliverance of the needs of these people. Speak to us tonight, Father, from your word. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Are you happy to be here tonight?
Sure. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's read also, if you would, before we get started on this, in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now listen, this is one of the most peculiar phrases that Paul uses to describe the Lord Jesus. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Praise the Lord. So there was people in that day, the way there is in this day, that ask questions that gender strifes. And many times the right way to deal with them questions are, avoid them. Don't even give them 5 minutes to answer their question. Right. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, which is why many people ask them. Because the demon influence that they are under know that it genders strife. And that's why they ask it. So, watch this. Now, he says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. But he, what's he's going to do now? But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Now, what I want to look at for just a little bit tonight on this subtitle of Give Us Godly Men Like This is a godly man is a servant of God and not a servant of men. Now, in order to be a true servant of God, we cannot be a servant of men in the sense of worldly men with worldly appetites, with worldly desires. Now, we know we serve the body. As we serve the body, so we serve the Lord Jesus. But we cannot be a political servant in this day and really be a servant of God. We could not be a servant on the realm of politics or demon power or religious power and be a true servant of God. Totally impossible. So we have to be one or the other. Now, this is not just for preachers, but this is for all the people of God, men, women, boys, and girls, that all of us, if we're going to be servants of God, we will have to serve Him with all of our hearts. Now, this is why the whole agenda of this last day is the merging together of all the powers of the earth. It is a precursor or a forerunner of the pale horse rider. Because the pale horse rider is a mixture of white, red, and black powers. And there is the symbolism of religious, political, and demon power. So the identity of the cultures of the world, of the natures of the world, of the nationalities of the world. What is it? A mixing together of everybody. So what's the religions of the world going to be? Everybody comes together under the false god Zeus, as the precursor was in the first church age. So they come together, or the latest in church age rather, they come together and we've all got one father, we're all going to the same place, and we all believe the same thing, and we're all going to the same heaven. So you can imagine what separationist preachers are going to look like in this last day. When all the world is saying, everybody come together, and it don't matter the difference what you believe, it don't matter the difference what church you go to, if you're one God, two God, three God, four God, it don't really matter, we're all going to the same place. Truths don't really matter. It does to the children of God. Truth matters to the children of God the way it's always mattered. Truth is our Father. Right. Exactly right. Truth is our Father, for God is the truth. Now watch this. So a godly man is a servant of God and not a servant of men. Let's get a little background from this. Now let's read from the book of Ezra, chapter 5, verse 9. Now this is when the house of God is being rebuilt in Jerusalem. And the enemy got really, really mad. Now remember, Satan has always had demons since the fall of man that were delegated to work in the realm of politics. Now these demons are, they understand how politics works, and they will be national spirits, as we've looked at before. So some will go to Poland, some will go to Germany, some will go to Norway, some will go to America, some to England. Those spirits get jealous of one another, and then they go to fighting one another. So they have always moved, especially in the realm of the four Gentile powers, as we've been studying it. So these powers are orchestrated by demonic leadership. So here God, under a command, now has set forth that the temple in Jerusalem is going to be rebuilt. Now, Satan cannot stop that, so these demon powers move on these people that are in Jerusalem, and they know that the spiritual head of this demonic power is still reigning back over here. So they write letters, and they begin to write letters and accusations against the people of God. So they tell them, hey, these people over here is trying to rebel against you. They're trying to cause all kinds of problems. Now, what are they doing? They're trying to make a big ruckus politically. So they go to writing down the names of Jim Babb and Dal Orndorff and you and you and you. And then they send it back by this letter back over here in Shushan in the palace. And they say, hey, this is what these people's doing over here. And they're causing a big mess. Sounds like that same devil that anointed them people still alive today. So you know what they tried to do? They tried to cause a political uproar and make it look like these people was rebelling against the system. So then when they did, they said, hey, well, what are y'all doing over there? Hey, you better take our word for it. These people's causing a mess over here. They're causing a ruckus, and they're going to do a revolt. That's what they're fixing to do. They're telling you they're only having church. They're trying to undermine our democracy. They're trying to undermine our constitution. You don't have to worry about us undermining democracy. You don't have to worry about us killing nobody. There's no message quotes that teaches us how to drive an airplane into Twin Towers. There's no message preacher you have ever heard that will teach you how to make poison to kill anybody. There's no message preacher you'll ever hear that's an anointed man of God that'll teach you how to commit suicide and you get a bunch of virgins on the other side when you do it. Come on, don't get quiet on me. So they raised up this thing politically. Now these demons knew what would work. They knew exactly what would work. So they moved on these people that were in Jerusalem and they began to give them thoughts. Now this is called doctrines of devils in the New Testament that Paul described it in 2 Timothy. So what that is, the doctrines of devils we'll look at this weekend, it's actually doctrines that are suggested by demons. It is doctrines that are suggested. Suggested to whom? Suggested to people that are in tune with demonic influence. So then these demons will suggest these things to these people. And they're so under their sway that they will carry it out. Oh my. Now, here they begin to carry this out, so they're going to threaten these people. If you don't do so and so, you better apologize. You better do this and that and the other. We're going to tell on you. Tell who? You can't tell nobody no bigger than my daddy. And my daddy's the one telling me to say it. It'd be counterproductive for my daddy to anoint me to preach the truth and tell you to tell me to shut up. Now watch in Ezra verse chapter 5 verse 9. Then asked we those elders and said unto them, thus, who commanded you to build this house and to make up these walls? Who told you to do this? We asked them their names also. Uh-oh, Ezra time YouTube. Ezra time newspapers and whatever more. Boy, we're going to write your name down. If it had pictures, that made pictures of them. Oh, I like the replies of my brothers, though. Thus, oh, hallelujah, we ask their names also to certify thee that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. Now, remember, godly men are servants of God, not servants of men. Now, can you imagine? These guys as humans, they must have been a little bit afraid by the giant. They must have been a little bit scared because now these guys are pulling the strings back over in Shushan in the palace, and they have no idea what's going on other than just what these people are telling them. So you've got so-called credible babblers, so-called credible people that saying Dow's doing this and so and so and this sister doing that, and they're writing down their names and they're out there saying, boy, we got to build this temple and we got to worship God. Don't you marry up with that bunch of unbelievers. Get away from all them. Why, one of them guys, that Nehemiah, he come over and grabbed a hold of a guy and jerked the beard out of their face and pulled hair out of their head. Lord have mercy, what a preacher. You think I'm rough? Man, I'm a Boy Scout compared to some of those guys. Oh, my. Now, notice this. Right? Why? Now, this demon spirit is moving in the realm to where human beings most generally become afraid. We're writing your names down, and we're going to tell it to the king and the palace. Of course, if it had been somebody's modern-day denominational preacher, said, I am so sorry. I recant. I shouldn't have said that. Oh, please, don't tell on me. I'll lose my job. I ain't never done nothing but preach. How would I make a living? You ever thought about pop cans? Little Daniel gave you a fair price for a woman, I'm sure. Oh, but what would I do? I would rather live on the side of a mountain and drink water out of a creek and eat squirrels three times a day and stand for the truth than to stand behind a pulpit and be a compromiser. Oh, man. Notice this. So they want to find out the names, and they want the main guys. Thus they return to us an answer saying, please, brothers, don't put my big face in Joseph's any press. Y'all probably seen my face in there this past week, didn't you? This time I got to choose the picture. Oh, hallelujah. Now listen to their reply. We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth. You want to write our names? Go ahead. You want to tell them who we are? Go ahead. Because we are servants of God. Young people want to make fun of you at school. They want to laugh at you because you don't dress like them and act like them. You don't have to hang your head in shame because you don't look like a Jezebel, because you won't get high on their dope, because you won't drink their beer. You can stand up and say, I am a young person that is a servant of the Most High God. I don't have to drink your beer to get high. I don't have to sell my body to the devil. I am a daughter of God. I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. God has always had this kind of people. I'm just glad to be one of them in this day that we live. Thus they returned us an answer, saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth. And build a house that was built these many years ago with a great king of Israel. Build it and set it up. And may I say today, we are still in the continuing phase of the building of God, which a great king built many years ago when he said, on this rock I will build my church. And this is why we don't have to compromise and say, well, maybe we're wrong. Maybe we should think the message over again. Maybe we really don't need the message. I don't know about you. I need the message now more than I've ever needed it in my life. Remember the day I was talking about before service, a lot of these folks was leaving the message. They're just going back to reading their Bible. Oh yes, they're going back to reading their Bible. They're so much closer to God now. Well, it's a shame that you had to be back to start reading your Bible. You should have been reading when you was coming to a message church. You know what? The same Bible that I read now is the same one I read when I was baptized in titles. The same Bible that I read when I read the Bible in tongues is evidence of the Holy Ghost. The same Bible I read when I used to pray to a father, and then I used to pray to a son, and I used to pray to a Holy Ghost. Same King James 1611 version Bible. So I needed more than just a Bible. I needed a message from that Bible to direct me to the anointed Word of God for this hour. That's why I can't just go back to my Bible. I cannot just go back to a concordance. I've got to have the message of this day to anoint the scriptures of this hour to tell me where I'm at, what to look for. Praise the Lord. Many of you used to read your Bible in the Baptist church, didn't you? You read your Bible in the Pentecostal church? So did you need a new Bible? You needed a message from that Bible. We're building a house that was built many years ago, which a great king of Israel built it and set up. So go ahead and tell our names. We don't care. Because we're serving the God of heaven and earth. He's not only there. He is here. Now watch. We either got to be servants of God or servants of men. You can't be both. Let's look now in the book of Daniel chapter 3 verse 16. Very common scripture. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You got to be kidding me. These men are talking to the king this way? We are not careful. We're not standing here to try to deceive you. We don't have to pray over this matter. We don't have to counsel ourselves. Give us 40 days and we'll fast. And then I'll see if I still believe the message or not. Well, glory. We're not even going to be careful in how we answer you. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods. Be it known unto you, son of perdition of this hour. Be it known unto you, Catholic Church. Be it known unto you, defectors of the message. We will not serve your gods. We will not bow to your image. Hallelujah! We will not bow! Now you know what's really sad about this verse? All the rest of the Jews had bowed. Thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And whenever the trumpets sounded and the instruments played, that went all them Jews right down on their face. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not bowing. Remember who this image was of. The prophet Daniel. Well, glory. I said, well, glory. I refused to bow years ago to the image that message. Folks said that Brother Branham was infallible. I refused to bow to that image. Thank God by His grace. The Lord laid it on my heart to bring it to you years and years ago and show you the human side of the message. The Lord knew these things was going to come up, that all these people was going to point to all that. You've already been shown that. You're behind, devil. You're behind.
I refused to bow to that image, and now I refuse to bow to others that are being made. Oh, Brother Branham was a liar. Brother Branham was this. I refuse to bow to your new image of a man-made God that lets women paint their face and put their shorts back on and wear their breeches. And you're making another God. Come on now. What is it? It's a God after an image of a backslid message follower. I ain't bowing to that God neither.
Can I have two more with me? At least two more? Glory. Now you imagine them saying some of the modern day preachers saying, well, I'll tell you, based upon the theological procrastination of the election of Fordham, we'll think about it. And the king said, wow, I'm so impressed with your vernacular. Really? Vernacular? But these guys said, hey, listen, we're not even praying over this matter. Let you know, we've got two ways out of this. We're not even sure our God will deliver us. And we're entering into this dilemma without understanding. He has not revealed to us what he's going to do in this situation. But we are willing to enter in under that understanding. Our hide may fall off of our bones as soon as we walk in there. We're not even sure how he will do. We don't know about that. But there's one thing we know for sure. We will not bow to your image. Let me just let hell know about it. Let me just let whoever wants to listen to this servant. I refuse to bow down to the image of the beast. I refuse to bow down to Protestantism. I refuse to bow down to Catholicism. Will my God keep me from it? Can't say. Will he keep me from trouble? Can't say. Will he allow me to be embarrassed? Might. Will he allow me to be tried? Probably. But there's one thing I know for sure. I ain't bowing. That I know for sure. Anybody know for sure? Do you know for sure? Do you know for sure? I am not bowing. He may allow me to be tried, but I'm not bowing. He may leave me sometimes and I feel like I'm all alone, but I'm not bowing. Hallelujah. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not. Of course, unless, does this retirement, is retirement included in this pension plan too? Social Security, Obamacare, or Medicare. I'd rather not trade Obamacare for Jesus care any day of the week. I don't figure I can have a better retirement plan than staying for the truth. Believe me, the dividends are out of this world. The benefits of my policy are unbelievable. They don't just cover you go into the hospital. They help bring you out of the grave. It's got emergency room benefits. It's got local anesthetic. It's got drunk on the Holy Ghost. It's got everything in the world you'll ever need from this life's journey from the time you start to the day you die. Now watch. Let's move down to verse 26. But Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now watch God make the devil testify that these men are servants of God. My offer still stands open on some of you YouTube theologians and you forum theologians and you Facebook theologians. Don't show me your words. Show me your power. Praise the Lord. Some of you folks that have turned theologians since you've left the message now and think you want to correct everybody in their preacher, don't show me your words. Let's meet with demon-possessed people. Come on now.
Let's watch God heal through you. Let's watch God, according to the Word of God. God always confirms the Word with signs following. Which means if I'm a cult pastor, I should have no true signs from God. If I'm a devil, God should not hear my prayers. For God heareth not sinners. Come on now. I love getting him backed up in a corner. Ooh, I love doing that. I love that smell. You know, that hide smelling, that burning, frying, sizzling devil hide. Different than your all's hide when it burns. It's got a different aroma to it. Now watch. So Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, my. He looks up to there and he looks in the middle of that fire before this verse. He said, didn't we throw three men into there? I said, yeah, I think so. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, I see four. Well, glory to God. I hope you can understand what we've seen this past weekend was the fourth man once again. They may throw us in, but if they look hard enough and look around, Brother Dave, they're going to see the form of the force in there. And it ain't going to be Donnie. It ain't going to be you. It ain't going to be you. It's going to be him. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth. And come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. You see, sons of God can walk into this kind of fire and come out. Fallen, disobedient people walk into the fire and never get out. They never have the ability to come out, but real sons of God. So devil, you want to build a furnace for us? We will resurrect out of the fire. We will come out of the test. So a godly man is a servant of God, not a servant of man. Let's look at the New Testament, Acts chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus has come back now in the form of the pillar of fire, living in the apostles. Notice this. They called them, commanded them to not speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. They wouldn't mind, of course, they use three titles, but just don't use his name. Can you imagine if I performed a wedding up here at the end of it, as I always do? Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you. And instead of saying the man's name, I would say, I now present to you, Mr. and Mrs. Human Son Husband. Well, I said the truth. What are you laughing at? I said what that man was, a human, a son, and a husband. Right? But what have you all heard me say over and over again, and other preachers as well? What do they say? Their name. Their name. Oh, my. When I started out on my way to glory, they broke the ice down there at that old creek when I was a 12-year-old boy and took me under husband, human, son. But one day the revelation broke in that word, and I realized I needed to take on the name of my husband. Praise be to God. So look here, the power of the devil already knew there was power in what name? The name of Jesus. So the Sanhedrin said, don't you go out there and teach no more. Don't you speak in his name. You shut up. Of course, them apostles had just been set on fire of the Holy Ghost. It's like a house on fire and a high wind and a dry day. And of course, they just shut right up. They just compromised and said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, your Royal Highness. Yes, sir. Holy Father. Yeah. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. That was a hot burner, wasn't it? So they just turned it right back on their lap. You imagine the Holy Ghost is outwitting them smart guys, man alive. They said, well, now you all just tell us, which should we do? Obey you or obey God? For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Brother Donnie, why can't you stop preaching? And I said, I can't. I've got to preach what I've seen and I've heard. But you wasn't there. Oh, I know I wasn't there physically. But when I hear them tapes and I hear all them things, I go back and I'm living in that time. Oh yeah, just like I do when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee. I'm right there. Why? I'm identified in the living Christ, which was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. It's not something another man's words to me. This message has been revealed to me. Maybe some of you can be bought out. Maybe you can be confused by going to some trash website and reading a bunch of garbage. By a bunch of people that ain't even called of God to handle the word in the first place. Woo! But if this word's ever been revealed to you from your soul, Nebuchadnezzar, all the elders in Jerusalem, I don't care who else they are, you'll be nice and you'll be respectful, but you say, I can only believe what I've seen and what I've heard. Watch now, Acts chapter 5, verse 27. So after these guys quit preaching and everything and they got their retirement and their pension. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. Oh no. Here we go again. And the high priest asked them, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Well, just in case there's any parts of the earth that we ain't filled, we're probably on our way now. Because the gospel of this kingdom must be preached. And that ain't a track. A gospel is demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Anybody can start up a website casting out a devil. Oh, it's a different story altogether. Yeah. Oh, my. When they had brought them and they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in his name? Did they? Yeah, I think they did. Imagine Peter Jones said, yeah, I do remember that now. You mean you remember us threatening you? Seemed like faintly I remember you said something about it. But it wasn't a priority. It had no value to me. You're not my master. You're not my Lord. I do not serve you. I serve God. I am a godly man. So I serve God. You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And listen, high priest. That's just the beginning. Oh my. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. No, they had already done that themselves. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, will you increase our salary? Will you give me a bigger church if I promise I won't say this no more? That's not... That don't run in my family. This is what runs in my family. We ought to obey God rather than men. Now in what sense is a godly man a servant of God? A servant leaves all others and follows his master. Mama, daddy, employer, political party. Even if his pastor leaves the word, he'll leave him. That's right. That's what the prophet says. So a godly man, first of all, left the service of sin. Then he comes under the service and the servitude of the master. But yet, really, if he's born again, he does not consider this to be a drudgery and, oh my, I gotta do this and I gotta do that. He's in service, but it's like he's born to where that he has such joy in obeying the word. Even the difficult times, there's a pleasure that comes with it. Now, what's this in Romans chapter 6, verse 22? Paul said, now being made free from sin. Now, what's the servitude from which we're released from initially? Being made free from sin and become servants to God. Ye have fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So then a godly man is set free from the servitude of sin. And he's birthed into the service of God. And he's born into a family, into an economy of God. And everyone in there loves the Lord with all of their heart and their soul. What's this in Psalms 116:16? David said, oh Lord, truly I am thy servant. Now watch him, he repeats it again. I am thy servant. He repeats himself as if it said, Lord, I've given you my all. And then, Lord, I've given you my all. This is a double confirmation, Lord. You've got everything. Oh, hallelujah. What about it, brothers? Don't we want to be godly men like this? What about it, sisters? A servant is not independent at his own disposal, but at the disposal of his master. Now, a real gifted man of God that's called to preach, he's born with that gift. Even before he was ever saved, he had that gift in him. Depending on what God will use him into, and he may have different aspects of ministry. He might start out as an evangelist, wind up being a pastor. Might start up being a pastor, might wind up being an evangelist. Who knows what all he needs? In one's case, he'll need more wisdom, another might need more knowledge. Another might need more fire, might need whatever he needs. All that is in him. All the potential of everything that he needs. Some will come to the forefront according to the dispensation of his own life, where he's at. And then part of the time, that'll recede and go back to the other change of his life. So it depends on where he is. So God fully equips that individual with everything he has, that he has need of. Now in that, he also, there's a human element remaining in the man, which will be a battle his entire life, in that he will be called of God to say things and go so far and decree things in such a way, sometimes severe, sometimes it'll seem harsh, sometimes it'll be misunderstood by many people. But he has a human ability to round that off a little bit and polish the corners, you know, and make it where it's not hardly as sharp, and he'll cut it back. He'll fight that his entire life. Because if that was not there, there would not be much battle. If it was constantly the Spirit of God taking him over, he never fought it, but he'll always have that thing that'll be lingering there. You could say this a little bit easier. You could go around this issue. After all, if you say that, Brother so-and-so, which is the finance of the church, he may really get upset, then you're going to have a mess on your hands. So while the man is preaching, anointed by the Spirit of God, the human element lays right there, because the gift is inside this. It's like it's incarnated in the temple. So the human part is constantly reasoning. Don't say that. Go this way. Go that way. And then after you preach, then you relive your sermons, you know, 50 times at least. And then you think, man, I wish I hadn't said it. Boy, I wish I hadn't said it that way. And you think, man, I'm coming back Saturday night. I'm apologizing for 99.9999999999999999% of what I had to say. And the Holy Ghost said, if you do, I'll smack you in the mouth. You ain't doing no such a thing. I was anointing you to say that. You shut up. But that human element lays there. Why? That's why the potential to be a servant of God. But the human side lays there to please man as well. Well, I'm giving away trade secrets, aren't I? Now, depending upon how that man keeps in constant fellowship with God, if he stays in fellowship with God and depends on the leadership of the Spirit of God, compared with the gift, correlated with the gift, he'll always have the upper hand on the human side. But if he gets out of fellowship with God just a little bit, then you'll find a little bit of compromise and a little more compromise and a little more compromise, and he doesn't preach on this no more and that no more. Oh, he's still preaching and still talking about, you know, the things of the day, but nothing is offensive anymore. Now, nobody's getting mad. Nobody's getting upset. Wow, if I could preach, I mean, a weekend. No, I better narrow it down. 10 minutes. I mean, if y'all could come here for 6 months and me never say nothing, to get under your skin, I need to repent. You're living in Laodiceans, and your body is still a time capsule in Laodicea. Don't you tell me you don't get influence of these spirits out here in this world. I need to hear this kind of preaching, and you need to hear it. But if that man stays in fellowship with God, there'll always be that element. The fellowship with God will override the human reasoning, and the gift will stay right in the complacent part where it needs to be. But if he gets out of that fellowship with God and goes to depend upon his reason, and listen to this preacher, well, this one ain't saying that no more, and this one ain't saying no more, then he brings down the leadership of God where it becomes less and less and less. He's still gifted, still a God-called man, but it comes more and more on the human part. And then the reasoning becomes merged with the gift. Don't say it quite that sharp. Don't say it that way. You're getting older, man. You're going to lose out. These young guys are going to replace you. What are you going to do for a living? How are you going to provide? How are you going to do that? Then what is all that? Reasoning. Reasoning.
Let me be honest with you now, folks. If y'all want to have an election on Sunday and vote me out, you give me the option. You quit preaching this, you quit preaching that, you quit preaching that, you quit preaching that, or we're getting rid of you. I'll spare you the time. I'll walk away.
With nothing, Brother Don. You mean you won't take all the tests?
No. Not one penny. And then I'll see where Papa wants me to go. And then I'll watch your great big church collapse around you. Because you see, you're not turning me down. God said if you don't honor that, he'll remove the candlestick out of its place. So it's not me, it's not Ron Spencer, not some of these other brothers, Mike Price, or whoever more it is. When you turn down that, you're turning God down. Or wouldn't you be scared? Sure. Hey, I've been thrown out before. Ain't the first time. Yes, sir. I've been thrown out of meetings before because I preach the truth. They won't want me to say, you get out and leave. Okay, see you later. Not that money even hard to get home on, but you know what? The Lord made a way. Hey, I'm awful old to start that stuff again, but I believe my God still reigns. I've seen him multiply when I didn't have hardly nothing to eat before. I believe he can do it again. If I stand for him, he's obligated to stand for me. And that ain't just so for a preacher. That's so for you, my brother, sister. If you want to be a godly man, a godly woman, don't be ashamed. If you work with people, don't hang your head. Do you go to Happy Valley? Do you believe that Branham stuff? Oh, my, I've seen all this. Don't you blush and turn red and feel embarrassed because of family members? I can't believe you're still going there. Yes, you better believe it because I believe it with all of my heart. I still hold on to it with everything that's in me. And you're only hearing the trash. You're only hearing the garbage. You ought to rake all that back and find the jewels that lay here in that word. So other people that are Christians, but that aren't bondservants, will say to you, to me, to you, how come you can't do this? How come you can't go there? How come you can't do this? They don't understand. Amen. We belong to a master. Amen. Soul, spirit, and body. Now we're in trouble. Folks don't mind giving God so-called their soul. They might even let him have a little bit of their spirit. But when it comes to that body now, they're going to reserve that body. Oh, Lord, here we go. What's this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19? What? Know ye not that your soul? Body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you. Which ye have of God, and ye... You're kidding me. I thought the days of slavery is over. Who told you that lie? The days of Christian slavery are not over. It's over for blacks, thank God. It's over for Asians, you know, for many of them they still have slaves. We know that. But this is what folks are trying to introduce. This is what they want. A Christianity that does not require slavery. They want to be their own. They want Jesus to buy them from hell and then set them free. Purchase them, redeem them, get them out of the devil's punch out, and then set them free to run wild again and do whatever they want to do. So they can start doing the same things they'd done while they were sinners, but now they're saved. And run the blood of Jesus. So when there's that turn in the world, they could drink. And of course, that's awful. It's horrible. It's a sinner for them to do that. But now they're saved. So they drink a little wine. It's okay because they're saved. They're drinking saved wine. That's out there in the world, they wore them old breeches, them ungodly shorts and them halter tops and all that stuff is ungodly of the devil. And they got saved and then glory to God, they got set free. So now they wear Christian halters.
Oh, they wear Christian miniskirts. And they wear Christian tight jeans. Where out there in the world, there's, I don't know. I've never bought women's miniskirts and blue jeans and that sort of thing. I didn't realize that they had Christian labels and worldly labels on women's blue jeans when you buy, but I guess apparently they do. So you run them through the save cycle. Sometimes when I go through Dairy Queen or someplace down, we'll get me a little dash of ice cream or banana split or Blizzard or something like that. I always like to get them folks who wait on that window. So I'll order me a banana split or something and diet water. Of course, they'll repeat it. Sir, would you repeat that in the drive-thru, you know? So I get up there and say, did you give me my diet water? And I said, did you run that Blizzard through the decalorizing machine? The one where there was a woman there, Dairy Queen. I said, ma'am, did y'all run that through the decalorizing? She said, no, I forgot. And she started back to do it. She goes, so what are you saying that for? I said, well, they always run these blizzards through the decalorizing machine for me so I don't gain weight when I eat them. So that's the way women have done their britches. They run it through the sanctifying machine. And now they can wear their britches and they're sanctified. Sanctified miniskirts. Sanctified halter tops. And some of these sissified backslid men wanting to show their legs they think they're so pretty. So they run their little shorts through their little sanctifying machine. Boy, praise God. You can tell they're not servants of God. Because they want to give God their soul, they want to give God their spirit, but they want to keep their body and dress their body the way they want it to look. And they don't want it to look too much. And then you got women in the message, you know, just straddle the fence. And they don't want to go either way. They don't want to actually be like the world. So they wear their dresses, I mean, just as tied up here. And they come to church and they're sitting there. They're so tight they separate Polly from Esther. Uh-huh. Preach, Brother Donnie. Oh, my. Well, I noticed some of you folks this weekend were standing up on your feet out of your pew. I ain't seen none of you hardly out of your pew tonight. I don't know what in the world's going on. Y'all ain't racist now, are you? That you prefer a black preacher above a white one? I believe y'all are racist because you acted much more emotional on them black brothers than y'all this white preacher. Ah. Now watch, Paul says, for you are bought with a price. This is what makes you a servant. Right? If you go tomorrow to Lowe's and you buy a shovel and a mattock and, you know, whatever more, and then people that check you out at Lowe's follow you out to your car and say, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that shovel? Well, first of all, I'm going to look at them really strange. Aren't you? Now, I wonder what you're going to do with that mattock. If they keep aggravating, I'm going to say, look, buddy, it ain't none of your business. If I want to eat it, it's my digestive problem, not yours. Leave me alone. Right? If you want to pull it out there in the parking lot and run over it, I mean, whatever you want to do, it's yours. You bought it. Right? Or what if you get ready to plant some roses and whatever more and that shovel's... Don't you tell me you're going to stick me down in that dirt. I'm brand new. I've got this yellow fiberglass handle. You mean you're going to get me dirty? Don't do that. I've never been dirty in my life. I come from that plant over in Shanghai, China, and I come across that boat on them waters. I got seasick and everything. I've been hanging up around that Lowe's distribution place. I'm as pretty as brand new penny, and you mean to tell me you're going to put me down in that dirt, that old red clay and mud? You're going to shame me? Well, first of all, if a shovel talked to me that long, I'd pass out. Wouldn't you? I mean, I probably wouldn't make it three or four words and I'd be on the ground. I say, you shovel, you shut your mouth. I bought you for setting out roses. I bought you for doing that. Let me tell you something. The Lord God bought me for holiness. The Lord God bought you sisters to look like sisters. He bought you brothers to look like men. You are His property. And He can tell you what to do. He can tell you how to dress. He can tell you where to go to church. Why? You are His. I was out early this morning and I got overcome.
temptation hit me bad. I seen that Dairy Queen over on the right hand side of the road. It was early. But my Betty likes ice cream for breakfast, for dinner, for supper. Me and Scotty go around about it all the time. Scotty thinks us Reagans is absolute nuts. I get a hamburger for breakfast if I want it. Scotty likes sausage and biscuit. I said, Scotty, tell me, what's the difference? You're eating hog on bread, I'm eating cow on bread. What's the difference? If I want a taco for breakfast, it's only a different type of bread and just the same cow. But what difference does it make? So I pulled through that Dairy Queen window and they had a new blizzard. Confetti cake. Wow. Hey, you know what? I bought me one. You know why? Because I wanted one. Now, it all depends on what I wanted to do with that. I could have thrown it all over my car. I could have got it out and painted my face up like a child, what I did when I was a boy. I could have done whatever I wanted to do. Why? Because I paid for it. Right? If you are the bride of Christ and you are truly redeemed, you have been bought and paid for. You are not your own. When are we ever going to learn, church, we do not belong to ourselves? Well, I want to do this and I want to do that. What? You are a servant. The price has been paid for you. You are not to tell the master, I want to do this and I don't want to do that. We are bought and paid for. Belong to Him. Now, you folks that have just recently fell in love with your Bible, maybe you ought to read this. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Dear Lord, you mean He puts the body first? So you mean to tell me that a woman can walk down the street with a skin-tight dress on or a pair of tight breeches, and every man that sees her looking at her, thinking thoughts that should not be in his mind, and she's glorifying God in her body? You need a blizzard. Ain't the kind that Dairy Queen sells, though. It's a blizzard in the presence of God. It's where the Holy Ghost changes your evil desire. Come on, children, think about it. How can a woman dress ungodly and think she's pleasing God in her body out before men? Tell me. How? How can the church strip off spiritually and think she's pleasing God in her body? Look, Happy Valley, when we come here, God takes note of the way we worship, the way we pray, our attitude toward the Word. This is His body. This is His body. We want to obey Him and love Him. We are His servants. Let me close. You know, the price paid for something can be overwhelming. But the price paid and the value determined can be so difficult. I saw a bedroom suit on eBay the other day, made by Thomas Brooks. Now, too many of you have no idea who he was. But he was a man who made furniture in the 1800s. They have one of his bedroom suits in the White House. So it was $146,000 on sale. You say that's absolute nuts, is it? And you know why you'd say that? Because you don't know the value. Praise the Lord. Well, he said, that price is astronomical. Really? Is it? Or what about a Rammelsburg? That an average bed, 56 to 65,000. We're not talking about pesos. I would never. Of course you wouldn't. Nor would I. Why? Because it doesn't have that value. And I don't have the money. And if I did, I wouldn't pay that for it. Why? Because I would not value If I had that kind of money, for me to exchange that amount of money for that, I do not see the value. You understand? But for someone who looks at that and says, that's what I've been looking for. I saw the Herder Brothers Pier Mirror at an antique place from Los Angeles. $38,000. And that was a cheap one. And you're sitting there looking at me and saying, what in the world is he talking about? You see, the devil looked at you and said, 7 for 50 cents. God said, 1 for my life. Devil said, 3 for $1. 7 for $10. God said, 1 worth 10 million worlds. And Satan looking and God looking and saying, I don't understand. I don't see the value. I don't see the value, the price he paid, and the value. I can't equate. Of course not. He cannot love. He moves in the realm of hate. He moves in the realm of variance and hatred and strife. So naturally, he cannot look at the price that was paid for you and I and be able to equate that he would give that, oh, that ultimate price. Who would the devil die for? Nobody. He will have all kinds of people die for him. Has he ever offered to lay down his life? He cannot. He cannot think that way. The devil does not, cannot, can never will be able to love. He is not love. But God looked at you and said, it's well worth the price. And this is where we are on this sign. And you're kidding me. So it's like we're on eBay, and God signed in, and the devil signed in, and the devil made his bid. He said, I'm going to bid high for Donnie. I'll say, I'm setting my max at 28 cents. God started his max with his life. So in the bid amount, he didn't put dollar figures. He put M-E. Me. This is what I bid. When the auction started getting hot in heaven, the devil went up to 30 and then 31. He said, I'm maxed out. 35 cents is all I'll go. But God said, I'm still willing to pay the full price. Even though the devil quit bidding against me. The devil looked at him and said, you want him? You do know he's a hillbilly. You know he never even graduated from high school. He's a nut. He borders crazy. Of course, come to think of a lot of the people you bid on kind of border. I wonder if we could look in here tonight. Let me close with this and say, what's Happy Valley made out of? Made out of former prostitutes, cigarette smokers, former drunks, liars, just salvage yard stuff. A headlight off of a Volkswagen and a taillight off of a Rambler. And a steering wheel off of a Mercedes. You only got that much of it, though. And a parking lot off of this, and a piece of junk off of that. And the devil looks and said, you got to be kidding me. Jesus, you mean you're going to make a church out of that bunch of junk? And here's Jesus just bidding and bidding. Sort of like Hosea, whose wife had run away. The Lord told him, go down where the slaves are being sold. So he goes down and the auction starts. And the bids are starting. So she's standing there as a slave. Yes, sir. And all of a sudden she sees him. Oh my goodness. And she watches him spitting 500, 600, 700. Somebody over there bid 750. All right, 8. He's just sitting there. 1,112. He just keeps on going. Says, oh, no.
He's going to kill me. He's going to buy me and kill me. So he pays the price and walks over and pays the auctioneer. He walks over to her and she's standing there shaking and quivering. I'm so sorry. Sweetheart. Let's go home. I've come to take you home. When Satan had many of your lives to where it looked totally impossible. And Jesus bid, and he bid, and he bid. He didn't come to get you so he could throw you in hell, but he said, I've come to take you home. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? There was a man standing here in the service the other night, and the Lord dealing with his heart and dealing with his heart. And there was a spot here at the altar. Spot about big enough for two people. He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, that's your spot. Wow. And he said, when you get there, Brother Donnie will be there waiting on you. What's amazing was I wasn't praying for nobody that night. But when I looked up, something just yanked me. You imagine how he must have felt when he walked there and he heard my voice praying. I don't know what overwhelmed me the most. The Lord speaking to him, once I heard that, the Lord speaking to him, calling me up there, or Jesus calling me his brother. Woo! You say, only you would think of that. I know. Think of it. Think of it. So I'm redeemed. I'm bought. Now what am I supposed to do? Go where he wants me. Go where he places me. Be what he wants me to be. Is that your desire? A godly man. Oh, grant it, Lord. We'll have godly men and godly women that will realize they're bought. Let's stand together. Let me read this to you. I run out of time tonight, but there's an agreement. In the old-fashioned way, the way they used to do it, it was called an indenture. It was a contract by which a person as an apprentice is bound to service. A contract binding one person to work for another for a given period of time. So you imagine we come to the Lord, there's an indenture. Now, say if you was a brick mason or a painter or whatever it was, and you'd get one of these boys here, and it wasn't just by word of mouth, but you'd draw up indenture papers. And somebody would have to pay Brother Dow to take one of these brothers here. I'll pay you so much money that they'll work for you and they'll be there. And if you go tell them to Benjamin Moore, get a guy on a painter, you go tell them Lowe's, get sandpaper. They ain't supposed to back talk you. They're supposed to go get it. And they may work for you for 5 years, 6 years, and they're still an apprentice. And they sign in paper. I, Donnie Reagan, I sign it. When you come to baptism, you entered into your indenture papers. And if he tells you, I don't want you smoking on the job. Is that stuff running out of your mouth, that Ambeer? I don't allow that on my job. Get rid of it. No dope smoking. Colorado may allow it, but the body of God don't. Quit that drinking. I don't allow drinking on the job. Look, if an employer said that, people said, that's his right. Why is it they get mad at God? If God says, I don't want you in the church doing that. I don't want you doing that. I don't want you doing that. And they get mad at God. Well, generally they get mad at the preacher for telling them what God wants. But you entered into an indenture. You are an apprentice. You agreed. Maybe you need to go back and read your papers. Be you holy as I am holy. Come out from among them and be a separate people, saith the Lord. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, I know these are very simple things tonight. But Lord, I pray it would ring so true in our hearts. Lord, I pray you would forgive me and these people. For our complaining
whenever you set us to do something or say something, do a certain thing or behave a certain way, and we don't want to do it. We'll complain like an employee gets off and back behind. I'll tell you one thing. This is the hardest man to work for I ever seen in my life. Beats all I ever seen. He just does this. Forgive us, Lord. We're like a piece of clay that was thrown outside the potter's field. Lord, we know that Judas, the 30 pieces of silver, they took and they bought a potter's field. And they called it a Kelodama. There they buried the poor. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, when you come to this world, you didn't just buy a field, you bought the whole world. Because I was poor and I needed a place to be buried. So now I can be buried in Christ Jesus. So the redemption money that was received at the tabernacle was silver money, because silver is the color of redemption. So you purchased me. Say, help me, Lord, that I'll be a submissive vessel. Then what difference does it make if you buy me to be a little vessel, size of a thimble? And then you'll buy another preacher to be a bigger vessel, size of a glass. And then you place another one in the economy of God to be the size of a 2-gallon bucket. Then another in a 5-gallon bucket, and on and on and on. Should we be jealous of one another because that's what you made us to be? Help us to move beyond these carnal things, Lord. The thimble-sized Christian ought to be so happy that he's just bought. He shouldn't worry about being a 5-gallon guy or a 55-gallon drum. If that's what you made him to be, he ought to be so happy. Help us, Lord Jesus. Then help our sisters, our brothers, when they hear the preaching, don't do this and don't do that and don't go here. Help them to realize the minister is only reminding them of the indenture papers. When they got saved, if they got saved right and real, no doubt in their own way, they told you, I'll do anything you want me to do. Save me, God. Save me. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Whatever you want of me, God. They was entering into an agreement with you. And you took them at their word. Help us, Lord. We'll live up until this life and be your apprentices. You'll judge us by our character. Those who pass the test will move into the millennium. And then John said, I beheld and I saw thrones. So we'll move from our apprenticeship of obedience to moving into full sonship of adopted sons. And we will reign upon the earth. But if we prove that we cannot obey, how can we teach obedience to others? Help us, Lord God. Forgive me for all the times I've grumbled, Lord. Forgive me for the times I've complained. For whatever reason, Lord, you've chose me to be in a spot of scrutiny. And Lord, you know me. My family knows me. Some of these people do. You know, if it's left up to me, I'd never put another service on the internet. It ain't for me. I don't listen to none of them. I can't stand to hear myself preach. I don't know that I've ever sat down and listened to a full sermon that I preached and just let this brought into question. I can't stand it. I don't do it for me. I hate the way I preach. I hate the way I have to say things. But Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm like some of them antiques I've got in my house. People come in and look at it and say, wow, how pretty. They should have seen it when I bought it. Some of them I brought home in boxes. Some of them I had to make pieces and parts. And that I never even bought them for nothing. That's the way I was. You found me over in a corner somewhere. And the veneer was gone. It was all cracked and busted up. But that just shows your handiwork, Lord. Praise God. Help me, Jesus. Help me. Whether you put me in the living room or where you put me down the basement, or you want to move me around from one corner to the next, help me to just move, Lord, not complain about it. Because I belong to you. Help each of us, dear God. How many want to be that way tonight before the Lord? Can you really fully understand what I'm talking about tonight? Can you surrender your body, your soul, your spirit as it was to a piece of furniture? Your sisters, you get tired of your living room sitting a certain way and you tell your husband, look, I want to move the furniture around. Let's move the couch over here on this wall and let's move this over there and move this over there. Can we be like a piece of furniture? Just God wants to move you on that wall and set you over in that corner. If, you know, if he wants to just move you in the bedroom for a while and just, or we get mad. We have to be made over and feel like we're special. If he bought you, you are special. Praise be to God. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just raise our hands and give him a little worship before we go. Oh, Jesus. Lord, don't throw the clay away when we grumble and complain and fail and make our mistakes. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Don't take us off the wheel and trash us. We know you won't, because you don't make no junk. You projected your thought toward us before the foundation of the world. There's absolutely nothing that can ever change that thought pattern of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your prophet tells us Eve was the perfect thought of a woman. We know Eve fell from that thought, but the thought didn't fall. So if the thought didn't fall, there's got to be an Eve that'll match that thought. We believe that's what you're working on. An Eve that'll match that thought of a perfect woman. You're a homemaker. You're going to marry a homemaker for the millennium. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus. I worship you, Adonai. I bless your name, Lord. The bidding was high for me. I was astonished. I still am. When I hear the auction replayed by one preacher and another, it's like I'm standing back on the block again. My breath is taken away as the bids are going higher and higher. Praise God. You're determined to get me. You're determined to take me home. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord Jesus. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's just worship. Let's just give him just a few minutes before we go. If you've never been able to do that, you love him, you're a Christian, and you're a believer, and you believe this message, but yet you find that stubbornness against his will, or that you struggle with that humility of feeling that if people don't make over, you struggle with that. Won't you ask God just to help you with that tonight? Just to lay that aside. Let God move you in the back corner. Let him move you in the living room, in the dining room. You don't need recognition. You don't need to be made over. You just want to be whatever he wants you to be. Is that your desire? Amen.
I love you.
Yes, Lord.
I love you.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
That's
dear God, I pray for you.
What Calvary
said,
I love you. I love you.
Hallelujah.
I love you.
Oh, yes.
Written in red.
Sing it, children.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Oh, can't you hear Jesus saying it?
That's
I love you.
What Calvary.
Hallelujah.
Said.
Oh, Lord God.
Bride, I love you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I love you. I love you.
Do with me what you want, Lord. You want me in the living room? That's fine. You want me in the kitchen? You want me in the bedroom? Help me.
me, Lord God, that I'll submit, Father.
Oh, I love you. I love you.
Yes, Lord. Oh, I love you. I love you. That's what Calvary said. I love you in spite of your faults. I love you in spite of your shortcomings. I love you in spite of your complexes. I love you.
It's written in red.
Oh, I love you. I love you. That's what counts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I love you. I love you. Lord God, that's what the price he paid on Calvary. That's what it said. The splendor of heaven. Oh, knowing his destiny was a lonely hill of Golgotha. There to lay down his life for me. If that is enough, Lord Jesus, and the ocean is dry, my God, there's no stars in the sky. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. I'll see you this weekend. Let's sing this chorus together as we go.
Oh, if that is in love,
yes, Lord,
in the ocean.
Look at the price he paid for you. He gives you value. He gives you worth. He's the one who determines your appraisal, not you.
If that is a love.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In heaven.
The peace.